Good morning. More than 2,000 years ago, the followers of Christ were in their own lockdown in the upper room. They were also afraid to go out, not because of virus, but because they fear the mob will get them. They were afraid for their lives. While they were together celebrating the Jewish feast of Shavuot, the day when Moses received the law from God, something unexpected happened. The key word is unexpected. What happened is told to us in the second chapter of the book of Acts that we read this morning, better known to us as the day of Pentecost. There are two parts to this story. The first part. We are told that the disciples in the upper room experience three things. Number one, they hear the sound of a violent wind. Number two, they saw something that resembled tongues of fire upon their heads. And finally, they spoke in different languages. So we have wind, we have fire, and we have glossolalia, speaking in tongues. The second part of the story. The second part is when Peter go out to meet the gathering crowds, curious to know what is going on. Peter explained to them that these unexpected events were the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy from the book of Joel. One story, two parts. In verse 12, we read, the crowds, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? A very good question. Let's try to explore for a moment this question and see if we can find some meaning to the story of Pentecost. Let's begin with the first part. Wind, fire, and glossolalia. What these symbols mean? Symbols, as you know, can represent different things. They are open to interpretation. There is not a definitive or absolute answer to what these symbols represent. Their meaning is always unfolding. However, we can say that the wind, the ruah, in the Bible sometimes represent the breath of God, and fire sometimes represent wisdom, knowledge, holiness, God's presence. Do you remember the story of the burning bush in the book of Exodus? God manifests itself as fire. Maybe that is the reason why the writer is making the connection between the Jewish feast of Shavuot and the tongues of fire. Maybe. What about the glossolalia? Actually, some people will say it is xenoglossia rather than glossolalia, but that is just a technicality. Again, we don't know the meaning, However, we can speculate that speaking in different languages was a hint that the message of Christ will transcend cultural differences. We can say that speaking in tongues was a symbol of a multicultural future. Regarding the second part of our story, I think it's important to figure out Peter's reason to going back to the Old Testament and quoting Joel. There is much that we can say about this, however, I would like to concentrate in verse 18. You read, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." This is very interesting. The recipients of the spiritual utterance in Joel's prophecy are the servants. In the original language, the servants here are not servants in the allegoric or figurative way. For example, when a Christian person declares that he or she is servant of God or servant of the people. No, here the use of the language is precise. The servants in Joel prophecy are real servants, socially and economically servants, cooks, nannies, cleaners, gardeners, etc. What some people will say are the bottom of the social pyramid, peoples from the margins of society. The visions and dreams of God are not upon the religious establishment or the elite. It is with the marginalized poor. We need to listen to this. The poor are here not to be patronized, but to be listened. So, when we put part one and part two together, what can we see? We see this. The Christians from different persuasions and traditions agree that Pentecost is a foundational moment of the church. The day when what was then a little Jewish sect was about to become a global movement, a new religion that will take over the empire and the world. I have another question for you. Do we actually know everything that can be known about Pentecost? Personally, I don't think so. I feel that there are many things about Pentecost that we don't know. Do you know what is the most important guiding principle in modern science? One word: ignoramus. Modern science is based in ignoramus, the honest and humble assertion that we don't know. We don't have all the answers. This principle, ignoramus, is the driving force in modern science towards research, inquiry, intellectual curiosity, the constant asking of questions and pushing of boundaries of what we know. I think the meaning of Pentecost is an unfolding thing. With time, we might learn a little bit more and more about this. And maybe That is the point of Pentecost. That the full meaning, like God himself, herself, is mystery, unknowable, beyond language, beyond symbols, beyond allegories, and beyond metaphors. Yes, indeed, ignoramus. In the Christian tradition, there is a name for our own ignoramus. It is called apophatic theology, otherwise called via negativa. This is ignoramus all the way. The Trappist monk Thomas Merton was one of the most brilliant minds of the 20th century, and he was convinced that this early tradition of ignoramus, la via negativa, was lost to the great cost of the church. And he made his mission in life to bring it back. He called it contemplation. So, what is the real meaning of Pentecost? I think it is a mystery that continues to reveal itself in the keys of time. Pentecost, brothers and sisters, is like contemplating the painting you have in front of you by Peter Warden. An ordinary scene, nothing unusual, just people gathering around a table. However, like in Pentecost, out of the ordinary, something unexpected and extraordinary might happen. If you look carefully at the peeling wallpaper in the background of the painting, you may be able to see from the shadowing that the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci slowly begins to emerge. You have to pay attention and look carefully, and you will see it. That is what Pentecost reminds us, that the unexpected wonder of God is revealed to us in the ordinary and the everyday, but only if we are prepared to pay attention and see. God bless you.